Good morning and welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful Sunday morning in May. We are already in May, towards the end of the year already. Thanks be to God for His amazing grace that He keeps us alive in this world. Every day in this world is a gift from God. So let us be thankful for that and be filled with the gratefulness as we worship God together. I want to welcome all of you to this service here and also online. Especially a warm welcome to Pastor Owens and Jenny again to be here. And also Nancy, their friend, joined us today from Tucker for our service. And also glad to see Wayne back after his procedure. So it's a good day today for us to worship together again back. And if you can turn with me to the announcements, the second page, those are our regular stuff. We continue to do the food bank ministry and the books will be still sold for the mission work here. And the third Thursday luncheon, we have to wait until the Golden Corral reopens, and let's pray for that.
Well, Nikki suggested we go to Cracker Barrel this time. We said okay.
Oh, okay, so Cracker Barrel is another option. Okay.
At same Monaco. Time, just different place.
One place, yeah, same time, different place. So I'll correct that in the bulletin. It's going to be Cracker Barrel. And today we'll have Holy Communion combined with our Hispanic folks. And next Sunday is Mother's Day, as we all know. So we'll have some special music. And also, if you have any remembrances of your mother that you want to share with us, you're free to do that during the worship service. And or if you want, you can, if you're shy to speak, at least some of them told me, you can write it down. I'll read it for you. So that's a good time that we can bring up our stories of our moms. And I always love to do that, and I remember when I was little, a lot of stories that I can share. So if you have something like that, please share with us. It would be an encouragement for everybody. So that's next Sunday, and then I will be traveling with my wife to India to be with my mom this month. She just turned 96. Oh, wow. So she's going 97. She lives with my brother there, so I go there almost every year to see her. So this year we'll be taking 2 weeks mostly, or maybe three maximum, towards the end of May and middle of June. That's why Pastor Tim graciously accepted to be here, to be with us during May and June, so he can get used to the church and then familiar with the church. So he came here and he found out that this is not an unfamiliar church. He had more people here than he thought he would know. The Marcus and him were growing together up in...
Yeah.
It is a great memory that they could share together. So glad that God is working everything out. And thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given in this community to do. Those are the announcements that I have. Ms. Lou has joined online. So she had a procedure that went well, apparently. Let me see if I can find her online. Yeah, she's online with us. Are you doing okay? Okay, we can hear you. So, are you muted? I don't see you muted. Okay, she's talking. Let me see. Can you speak now? Yeah, something is not right here. She's talking, but I can't hear you. Okay. Those are the announcements that I have. If anybody has anything else, we can share. If not, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn, hymn number 327, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Please stand.
Again, it's good to be back with you today as we join together in prayer and ask for the Lord's grace and presence to be upon us in this service. I do want to say it is good to have our friend Nancy Burdett. She's like family to us, and really appreciate her coming to be with us, worship with us today. And also, I'm very proud to have my youngest daughter and my son-in-law, Bethany and Joshua, with us. Thank you for being here. Let's join our hearts together and ask for the Lord to bless us with His presence. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the privilege we have to come and be among Your people, Lord, knowing that Christ Himself, the risen Lord, is with us, that His presence is with us even now. And Lord, we pray as we gather here today to worship You and to call upon Your name, to raise our voices in praise and to hear Your word, Lord, that we would know Your presence, that You would, Lord, move among us, that Your Holy Spirit would be known among us, that Your Spirit, Lord, would reveal Yourself to us. Lord, come and help us to worship You today and speak to our hearts, O Lord, and draw us into You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take time now to greet each other before we continue our worship. Thank you.
active. I don't know why. It's not showing the address.
You don't need help.
I know. Oh, I need help. Thank you. Good morning.
Our congregation choice today is, his name is wonderful, page 174. This is a chorus that we used to sing frequently in this church many years ago. We haven't really done it recently. It only has one verse, so we're going to sing it twice. His name is wonderful, page 154.
174.
174.
Remain standing. Please turn to page 787 with me. Our responsive reading is Psalm 62, with 5 through 12 verses. Page 787. For God alone my soul waits in silence.
Who alone is my rock and my salvation,
my fortress I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my deliverance and my honor, mighty rock, my refuge is God.
Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before God, who is a refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but a breath, those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath.
Put no confidence in extortion.
Set no stores on robbery.
Riches increase.
Set not your heart on them.
Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. Power belongs to God.
And to you, O Lord, belongs to steadfast love.
for you repay all according to their work. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So prayer time, as we bring our prayers of praises together and give thanks to God, and also we share our prayers of concerns and burdens and lift them up to the throne of grace of God, that God will answer our prayers according to His time and His will, and we trust in His promise that He will answer our prayers at His time. So we'll share our prayers of blessings and concerns at this time. The last page of the bulletin, if you want to turn back, the boxes listed there have the names of certain people and certain items that we continue to pray. Let us continue to pray in our regular prayers, in our personal prayers. Please post this wherever you have your prayer time at home, and remember these people and these items in your regular daily prayers. Continue to pray for Jean McBrayer. She is not here today. And Grace Haynes, Harry Bezor, Carol is here today with us. Continue to pray for Thomas John and Jerry Raines, George Richard Jones, and Sean and Amy Conway. Keep Wayne in our prayers as he is recovering from his procedure. Also, he is planning on having a knee surgery sometime in summer. Please keep him and Carol in our prayers. Continue to pray for the people who are affected by the earthquake in Asia, and pray for the family of Tiffany and as they are grieving the death of Wes. Let us remember our service workers, our military, fire, police, our grocery clerks, trash workers, delivery people, many, many others, farmers, laborers, construction workers, many people who serve us on a daily basis behind the scenes. Let us remember their services and be thankful, and also pray for them and for their safety and their families. Let us pray for our nation, our president, leaders of our Congress, governors, and many, many others who make decisions that affect our lives. Let us pray that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and make the right decisions. Let us also remember the world leaders in our prayers, that they will also fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. Let us pray for our church, that God has given this opportunity in this time of history to be in this location, to be His witnesses for this community. And let us pray that God will give us the wisdom to go forward and be faithful in using the opportunities that He gave us to be in ministry here. Let's pray for all the churches in this community, all the pastors around the world, the missionaries who are working in various ways. Let us remember also them in our prayers. Those are the regular prayer requests that I wanted to share with you. Anybody have any special prayer requests to call out? If not, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer where you can bring your personal prayers up, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Whoever knocks, the door will be opened. Whoever seeks, will be find. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give son a snake instead?
Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your loving Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Gracious and merciful God, we come before you as your children to bring out prayers of praises and thanksgiving, Lord. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us every day. The gift of life. We thank you for the gift of families. Thank you for the gift of relationships and church and the opportunity to worship together, Lord. All is from you and you alone, and we thank you for that. It is not because of our merits. It's only because of your grace that we are alive here today. We thank you above all for your Son Jesus Christ, who came to this world, lived among us, suffered and died, and rose from the dead, so that we can have eternity with you. Even when we were sinners, you loved us, O God, and we thank you. Thank you for covering us with your protection and safety every day. We also come before you with our burdens and concerns, O God. Many of us are broken in many different ways, broken in our bodies, broken in our souls and spirits. We thank you for your continued healing on many of us that we have been lifting up in our prayers. Especially we pray for Miss Jean McBrayer and Grace and Harry Bezor and Carol Clemens, Thomas John and George Richard Jones, Sean and Amy Conway, Wayne, and all those who are struggling with various kinds of health issues. We thank you for your hand, healing hand on them at this time. As we unite in faith, your promise is that you will answer our prayers and heal our sick ones, and we thank you for your promise. Heal them, O God, according to your time and your grace. Above all, we pray for peace in their lives, in their families' lives. We pray for those who are grieving at the death of their dear ones. We pray for those who are affected by the earthquakes and many other disasters around the world. Pray for your merciful hand on them and all the workers that are doing relief work in those areas. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who serve us behind the scenes. And we thank you for their services and also pray for them and their family safety. We pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress and governors and mayors and many, many others, leaders who make decisions that affect our lives. We pray, O God, to give them the wisdom that they need to make the right decisions and choices. We trust them into your hands, O God. We pray for the world leaders also that they will fear God when they make decisions that will bring an end to all the wars and bring peace to this world. We pray for all the churches in this community, and we thank you for our church that you have placed in this area in this time of history, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in using the opportunities that you give us to be caring and compassionate, to spread your love to those who are in need. Help us, Lord, to worship together today in truth and in spirit, Lord, in our singing, in our worship service, in our breaking of the bread and the Holy Communion that we take part together, Lord. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please.
Praise him, all creatures, hear me, Lord. Praise him. you for this day. Thank you for all the gifts that you give us. We pray that this offertory can be used to bless others and bless everyone in your kingdom. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we can remain standing for the scripture reading today, it comes from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 22. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they went, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Well, I want to say again, thank you for allowing me to be here, Pastor Matthew, and to share the Word of God with you. I always feel like when I get the opportunity to preach or teach, I come to hear the Word of God with you, certainly not to preach at you, for the Word of God is something that my soul is very hungry for this morning. So it's my prayer that we will hear the Word of God together today. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Not that you need to hear me, but that we want to hear the voice of God today. So I want to, again, just say thank you to Pastor Matthew for allowing me to be here. It's really an honor that you would entrust your pulpit to me, and I count it a great blessing. I also want to thank a mutual a friend of ours, Gary Thornton from AIM, for connecting us, the Association of Independent Methodists. I really appreciate Gary kind of getting us together and this leading to this opportunity to come and speak to you. So I want to direct your attention back to the story, and thank you, Lisa, for that was a long passage of Scripture. Thank you so much for reading that and doing such a good job. I'm not going to read any of it again to you, but I do have my Bible open because I want to refer back to it here in a moment in several points. But before we do that, before we hear the Word of God together, would you pray with me just one more time? I just want to pause for just a moment and ask you if you would just take another moment of silence this morning. I want to ask you, I want to challenge you, if you would you pray that the Lord would speak to you today, personally, that He would, that in the way that only He can do, He can single out every one of us, only He can do that. Would you ask that He would speak to you personally? Take a moment of silence to do that, and we'll begin our study. Lord, we do long to hear Your voice this morning, and Yours only, just as You spoke to those men the seashore that morning, Lord, so speak to us. Speak to us, Father, individually. Call us to Yourself. Help us, Lord, to hear that call and that claim, that command to follow You. May we hear it afresh today, Lord, surrendering ourselves to You today afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to call your attention back to the details of this story. I don't know about you, but I feel like this is one of the most moving passages in all the Gospels. And I think one of the reasons we find it so moving is because it is so personal. Now, if you notice the details of the text, there were actually seven disciples there that morning when Jesus appeared to them. And I'm sure that all seven of those disciples were blessed and spoken to and inspired in very different ways that morning. But I think we would all agree that Peter was in many ways the real focus of this encounter. It's one of the things I love about Jesus. He comes to us individually. He sees us as we are. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And we all, this morning, we're here today. We know things about us that only we know. But Jesus knows all of those things. And yet He comes to us today and He seeks us out. He seeks to speak to each of us individually today. That was certainly the case for Peter. If you think about this scene, I want to direct your mind back to this scene. I want to call out two things about it that really confirm to us that Jesus came seeking Peter in a special way. First of all, just the details of this scene. If you notice them, they are all really woven together in a very special way to speak to Peter. Peter needed to be spoken to. If you're familiar with the context of John's Gospel, just prior to this scene, Jesus had appeared and spoken very individually to Thomas. And remember, Thomas had said before, you know, unless I see Him, unless I put my hands in His side and see the scars with my own eyes, I will not believe. And Jesus took care of that, didn't He? He appeared to Thomas and said, here, thrust your hand in. Don't be disbelieving, but believe. Peter needed an individual encounter like that. Peter knew He was alive. He had been there when He had appeared before. In John's Gospel, this is the third appearance. Peter had seen Him. He knew He was raised, but Peter didn't know how He stood with Him. You know, the last time Peter looked into the eyes of Jesus, you remember the scene, don't you? In John 18, it was there in the courtyard, and there was a charcoal fire, very much, I'm sure, like the charcoal fire that Jesus had started on the seashore that morning. And it was there that Peter had denied him three times. So this scene is very much orchestrated to speak into the life of Peter, to reclaim him after his failure and after his denial. It's also orchestrated for Peter, you can see, because of this command of Jesus, throw out on the right side of the boat and you will catch a large draught of fish. You know that brings back memories to Peter. You remember the story in Luke chapter 5. Jesus was teaching the multitudes. He had borrowed Peter's boat. You remember? And after his teaching, he told the fishermen to drift out and then to launch out into the deep and let down their nets for a catch. You remember? What did Peter say? I love Peter because Peter's always speaking his mind, isn't he? He's always speaking his heart. Even if his mind and his heart's in a bad place, Peter's going to speak it. And he said, Lord, we've fished all night. We've caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, we will let down our nets. And you remember that was another case where the nets were so full. In that case, they were actually breaking. John was there. John and James, the son of Zebedee. And John recognizes this as he's on the Sea of Galilee in John chapter 21. As soon as the weight of those fish, the resistance of those 153 fish began to be felt, what does John say? Peter, it is the Lord. And Peter immediately puts his outer garment back on and he dives into the sea. That's the second thing that's very particular here, that sea that he dove into. John calls it in verse 1, the Sea of Tiberias. But John in his gospel uses the Roman name for that body of water. We know what that body of water is if we're familiar with the gospels. What is the other name that we call it? And it's fine for the congregation to participate. It's not just the Sea of Tiberias. You remember what it's most normally referred to? The Sea of Galilee. In fact, in John's Gospel, he explicitly says in John chapter 6, that the Sea of Galilee is the Sea of Tiberias. Why is that important? And I want to submit to you, it's very important. Why does Jesus appear to Peter the Sea of Galilee? You know, this is where Peter grew up. Peter was born at Bethesda up in the northeastern part of the Sea of Galilee. And where Jesus is appearing to him now is where Peter was from. It's where Peter was raised. The Sea of Galilee is where Peter learned to tie the fishing knots and mend the nets. The Sea of Galilee is where Peter learned to steer the boat in those storms that would come up over the sea and threaten to capsize it. The Sea of Galilee was where Peter first heard the words, "Follow me." And here he hears those words again as Jesus reclaims him. I want us to think about three ways in which those words can be meaningful to us today, just as they were meaningful to Peter. To hear that call again from Jesus, "Follow me." First of all, and I think this is such an important part of the story, Jesus is calling Peter back to follow him again, regardless of the path that lies behind Peter, regardless of all of Peter's yesterdays. It's so obvious, isn't it, as Jesus invites him into that charcoal fire beside that charcoal fire to partake of the fish and the bread, that in some ways Jesus is reconstructing the scene of his denial in order that Peter can affirm to Jesus again three times that he loves him. Do you love me, Peter? Tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Jesus gives Peter the opportunity to reaffirm his love for him three times. And in that reaffirmation, we are reminded that Jesus' forgiveness for Peter is complete. Isn't that a work of grace? Can you see the mercy in Jesus as he does this? As he allows Peter to affirm his love for him in front of those six other disciples, as in front of that charcoal fire, I'm sure the sounds and the smell were so familiar to Peter, they must have reminded him of his denial, of his absolute betrayal of Jesus. But Jesus is calling him back in over that meal. He's welcoming him back in as his follower. You know, in the biblical world, it's very important when you read the New Testament, and I want to encourage you, when you read the Gospels, notice how often people are eating together. See, it's not just we Southerners who do that. The people of Israel did it too. But in that day, when Jewish people would gather and they would take a meal together, it was very meaningful. It was a sign that you were being welcomed in. It was a genuine act of hospitality that invited the participant in the meal into relationship and communion and fellowship. And that's what Jesus is doing here to Peter. He is inviting him back. He is expressing to Peter in a way that probably Peter could only understand that all is forgiven. Isn't that a gracious word? That's the word of communion today. All is forgiven. You know, I want to tell you something about the forgiveness of God. And I hope we can all hear this. And let me tell you, dear friends, I need to hear it just as much as anybody else. This is a truth about God's forgiveness. It is never partial. It is never probationary. It is always complete. John says that Jesus served the fish and the bread to those disciples. We don't know exactly... We don't know exactly the vantage point that Peter had when Jesus reached out his hand and extended that hand to him to take the fish and the bread. But listen, if Peter's vantage point would have been just right, he would have seen the scars. Thank you, Pastor Matthew, for letting me pick out the opening hymn this morning. Crown him with many crowns. That's one of my favorite hymns. There is a line in that hymn to me that is so moving. In the third verse, the writer says, "Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wombs yet visible above. In beauty glorified." It is amazing to me that God chose, God the Father, when he raised up the Son and gave him his glorified body, that he chose to leave the wombs. He leaves the wombs to remind us that Christ's sacrifice for us is final and it is permanent and it is total, and there is no partial forgiveness in him. Remember that, dear ones, as we take communion today. That Jesus seeks out Peter, and he seeks out you, and he seeks out me today. He seeks us out intentionally. The one who made the good confession before Pilate seeks out the one who denied him. The Savior seeks the sinner, and today he seeks you, and he seeks me, and he welcomes us back in, and he says, "Follow me. Follow me regardless of the path that is behind you. Don't you know Peter wanted to undo that denial? Don't you know that somewhere in Peter's heart he wanted to unsay those words? Listen, every one of us here today, bring our humanity to the table. And for each of us, I certainly know it's true for me, brothers and sisters. There are things we wish that we could undo. There are days that we wish that we could unlive. But we can't unlive the past, but we can embrace Christ's forgiveness for the past. And hear his call afresh to follow him. You know, faith always faces forward. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us and the weight that draws us down, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Today, Jesus calls each of us, dear ones, to run the race that is set before us. And we cannot run the race that is set before us if our eyes are on the path that is behind us. Jesus offers full forgiveness this morning, total cleansing. As we take the communion today, may we remember those wounds and those scars that his glorified body still bears for us. Peter is called to follow again in spite of the path that is behind him, but also he is called to follow again even in light of the path that is before him. And there's another element here that I want us to see that I think is very important. If we look back at the text this morning in verses 18 and 19, we hear these words from Jesus that are spoken to Peter that I'm sure took Peter by surprise. Look at what Jesus says to Peter in verse 18. After he is restored, Jesus says to him, "When you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." Unless we have any misunderstanding of what this refers to, John makes it clear. John says this he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. So here, Jesus is saying, "Peter, I'm calling you to follow me again, and I'm calling you to follow me again no matter the path that is in front of you." And in the case of Peter, the path that was in front of him was a path of great pain. Do you find yourself right now in a place where you do not want to be? Do the circumstances of your life, are they leading you into a place that you do not want to go? Now, Peter's situation is unique in his life. He faced martyrdom in a very particular way, as we have it very early in church history that he was crucified upside down. But it doesn't have to be martyrdom that the circumstances of our life may be leading us into. Many of us today may find ourselves in a place where we do not want to be. You know, there are certainly, and without going into any detail, because I know your circumstances, for many of you, are probably just like mine. There's many things in my life right now. There are many circumstances in my life that I wish that I could change. And I pray to God that he will change my circumstances. Can anybody relate to that?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. There's another human among us this morning. And don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with us praying for God to change our circumstances. When the responsive reading today from Psalm 62, David says, "Pour out your heart before him." We pour out our heart in transparency and honesty toward God. And it is more than okay for us to cry out for God to change our circumstances, to take away our pain, to remove the details of our lives that are painful and cause us sorrow. But listen, in the midst of us crying out to God to change our circumstances, the most important question that we can ask simultaneously is this: Lord, how do I follow you right now if my circumstances don't change? How do I follow you if I'm being led into a place that I don't want to go? What if I look down the road in my future and I don't see circumstances that perhaps are as pleasant as the ones behind me? Listen, the deepest question, the most important question we can ask as followers of Christ is, how do I follow you in the path that is before me? Because what Jesus says to Peter is incredible. If you look back at verse 19, John says, after saying this, he said to Peter, follow me. After saying what? The path ahead is going to be painful, and you will be led to a place that you do not want to go. One final thing. I know that I don't want to take too much time here and crowd out communion, but let me just offer one other observation here from this story. Being reclaimed and being called again, we're called to follow Christ today. No matter what the path is behind us, we're called to follow Him. No matter what the path is in front of us, and we're called to follow Him today, no matter the path of others. Is it Peter? Again, I love Peter. Oh, I'm so thankful for Peter. Because Peter, once Jesus gets him to focus back on Him and say, follow me, even though following me is going to mean your death, following me in your case is going to mean great suffering, Peter gets it for a moment, doesn't he? And then just, you know, I think Peter was probably ADHD. I think I've got a little bit of that. You know, when you're very easily distracted. And Peter sees something out of the corner of his eye. And what does he see? John is behind him. So get the picture now. Jesus is here in front of Peter. Peter is locked on to Jesus. His eyes are fixed upon Jesus. But suddenly in that peripheral vision of Peter's, he picks up this image and John is walking behind him. And it almost as suddenly as Peter gets the message, he loses it and he turns to look at John and he says to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? What about him? What does Jesus say? What is that to you? If I will that he stay until I come, what is that to you? And then listen to what Jesus says to Peter again. You follow me. Can you relate to that? The distraction of comparison can take our eyes off of Jesus this morning, and may we not let it do that. Again, I remind you, Hebrews 12:1, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I don't know about you, but a lot of times, you know, I think I'd be just fine with a race that is set before that person over there. Because the race that is set before that other person, it looks better than my race. And sometimes in this awful distraction of comparison, I am tempted to say, oh Lord, if I could just be that guy, if I could just have his circumstances, then surely I would follow you. But again, the voice of Jesus comes to us today and says, you follow me. Let's pray as our brothers and sisters join us. Lord, thank you for your call to us today. Thank you, Father, that you are willing to reclaim us, that no matter the past, your forgiveness is full. As your beloved apostle teaches, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So, Lord, today as we take of this bread and this cup, Lord, may we be reminded of the fullness of your forgiveness, and may we hear your call afresh, Lord, to follow you no matter what the path is ahead of us and no matter the path of others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Owens, for that great message, that God is a gracious God. He gives us not only second chances, third and fourth and fifth, no matter how many times you fail.
Amen.
And that's my testimony too. I would not have been here if he was not so gracious to me.
Amen.
Thanks be to God for that wonderful message. We'll go to the Lord's table now. Our table is an open table. All are invited, children, no denominational barriers. We are joined by our Hispanic church here, that we always have communion together every month. Thank you for joining Pastor Nelson with us and his folks. If you have a laminated sheet on your pews, please take that. That's our Holy Communion worship order that we will follow. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your law. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, O Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You are a God who gives us second and third and fourth chances. Even when we falter and fail, you come back to us and restore us like you restored Peter. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. On the night to which he gave himself for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave it to his disciples and gave thanks to you and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in thanksgiving and praise as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. Please come and join the table. All are invited and all are welcome. As the ushers guide you, come forward and take a seat. Give thanks for this Holy Communion, that we were able to partake today, the sacrifice of the Lord that we remember on the cross, that he made for us, that we can have eternal life through the blood of Christ that we believe in. So let us give thanks to it. Pastor Nelson will pray in Spanish, and I'll close with the English prayer.
Vamos orando. Señor mi Dios, le damos gracias en este precioso día en el cual podemos recordar, mi Dios, el sacrificio que hizo usted en aquella cruz por nosotros. Gracias por su sangre que fue derramada, mi Dios, para limpiarnos de todo pecado y para poder entender, mi Dios, que usted nos ama y que ese amor que usted nos dio en esa cruz ve más allá muchas veces de nuestro entendimiento. Gracias por este recordatorio, gracias por esta hermosa iglesia en el cual podemos estar como un solo cuerpo, mi Dios, delante de su presencia. Gracias por todo lo que usted hace por nosotros. Nos ponemos en sus manos en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this opportunity that you gave us to share the table together. You are a gracious God. You give us chances after chances. Thank you for coming to this world, suffering for us and dying for us, and rose from the dead and lives in eternity, that you are coming back again to take us there with you. Eternal God, we thank you for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Thank you all for joining together in this Holy Communion and the worship together. Our closing hymn is "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." It is 338 in the Blue Book. If you are able, please stand for the closing hymn, "Where He Leads Me."
I
people of God, the call from Jesus is to go and feed my sheep. Just like he told Peter, he's calling us back again to restore us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Go in peace.